Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many are excited? You're excited about revival. How many are excited about where we're going with God? Where your life is? You know, we don't want to, depart from the things that God has called us to do. From the place that He's called us to be. Which is number one, what? Abiding in His presence. Amen? Because that's really where our spirit man begins to feed, isn't it? It is in His presence and in His Word. And so when we begin to start that time and that life of prayer, we talk about praying in the Holy Ghost. Day after day, hour after hour, moment by moment, our spirit man begins to be built up, doesn't it? It begins to grow and we begin to mature into the things of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I remember when I first started saying this verse. It was before I was even filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I wasn't raised in a spirit-filled church. I was raised in the church that did believe in the Holy Spirit, but they were not spirit-filled. They did not pray in tongues. They did not believe in praying in tongues. They believed that you were filled with the Spirit by faith. And so by faith, I received the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, come into my heart, come into my life. And I had no idea. I had not had teaching. I read it in the Bible a little bit that the Spirit prays for me, but I thought that was automatic. I thought He was just praying for me. But then I come to realize the truth of the Word of God, and God began to guide my life as I began to seek Him, and I offered these two verses to Him the best I knew how. And it says here in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. How many think it's reasonable to offer our body to God? You understand, in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices that they would bring to God. How many know that? See, they had to bring a sacrifice, what, every year, and then at other times, you know, different innocent animals had to be sacrificed for sin and different things because they were believing in the coming Messiah. They were saved in the Messiah to come, much like we believe we're going to have a glorified body. Until that time, what do we have right now? We have health and healing, don't we? We walk in health and we can walk in healing, but when we get that glorified body, it will not be necessary, will it? So our hope is in the resurrection of the body fully. You know, that is going to be the completeness of our life. We begin to be restored, not just in spirit, but then later in body. And we've been talking about the spirit, the soul, and the body here lately. What is the difference, and how do we develop our spirit man so that we can control our mind, our will, our emotions, and our body? How many know that, number one, we have to have this Word, the Word of God? That's what I'm reading here today. And I would say the first thing that I learned as walking with God, even before I spoke in any tongues, was to present my body. He said, I beseech you, I beg of you, I'm asking you, will you present your body to me? All right. He is admonishing them to do just that. Hallelujah. I need my glasses for a second. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, it is the... right thing to do. It is rational, in other words. Paul's saying it is rational. It makes sense that you would offer your body a living sacrifice. And really, that is our New Testament sacrifice, isn't it? It's our body. It's our life. It's who we are. Hallelujah. And that body that we live in, we present to Him that living sacrifice. And that is what? Holy. holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. It is reasonable that we offer to Him what He gave us. Didn't He give His whole body for you? Didn't He lay His life down for you? Didn't Jesus say, I deny myself, I do that which only my Father asks me to do, and I've come to redeem you, I've come to lay my life down, and He laid it down many, many times. As we read through the New Testament, how many remember when He went to pick out His disciples? What did He do the night before He picked out His disciples? Does anyone know? Well, He began to pray. He spent time praying, and the Bible says He prayed all night. And then He came out and He began to choose the disciples. I'm sure He had many, but God showed Him exactly. And He didn't just say, oh, well, let me talk to you. We have a position for you. We've got something else we want you to do that I want you to do. He just said, no, that's not how He chose them, is it? He said to Peter and John, I mean, remember, they were on the boat. They're fishing with their father. What did He say? He said, come follow me. And He walked off. How many know sometimes God is saying, follow me. And we have to take some initiative in following Him. This here verse here involves some initiative on our part. Amen. That we present something to Him. We don't give God, you know, the salvation was given to us, and we give God our bodies, our holiness is our service back to Him. It is our offering back to Him. We live a life that's full of His holiness, that's full of Him, because He came to us. He said, I come, I make my home in you. And we've already seen what? He changed us, didn't He? He didn't leave us the same. And so it's reasonable that we present our body. And He says, don't be conformed to this world or this world's system. How many know that the world's system is not God's system? Amen. What does the world say? Get all you can. Try to make a lot of money. Try to be rich. Buy a nice house. Buy a nice car. And then sit down and enjoy it. That's the world system, amen? That's what they want, or whatever it is that they love, you know. Maybe it's fame, maybe it's fortune. You know, they find what they love, and they pour their whole life into it. And we're to pour our life into God's purpose and plan for our life, because God has a purpose for you. He's got a plan for us, but we're not going to find it until we lay down our life and decide, Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice. I can't be a dead sacrifice. A dead sacrifice doesn't do anything, does it? But a living sacrifice. That means our body may be declared dead. We hold our body in subjection to let the true man rise up, our spirit man, to come forward as we spend time with Him. And He rubs off on us, and we just share our relationship with Him. We reflect His life in this earth. That's our position, and that's where we can, what we can do. Because we're not going to be conformed to the world, but we're going to be transformed. Now, transformed is much more than just, it's not just doing better. We're not just putting off some things, but transformed is actually taking on another form. You are moving forward. Metamorpho, I think, is the Greek word, where there's a process of changing and actually becoming something else. Are you hungry for to know God? Are we hungry for the fullness of God? I know you are, or you wouldn't be here today. Amen. Some of you are here early in the morning. Some are listening late at night right now. All over the world, they're listening and trying to find. Say, Lord, what do I need? All right, Lord, I present my body. And I would say the best I know how, Lord. I present my body to you. I really didn't understand fully how. But then later on, as I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began to pray in other tongues, the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, when you're praying in tongues, you're giving your life to me. And I began to realize that he didn't want my time. He didn't just want part of my life, but he wanted every area and every single part. And I said, oh, Lord, this is more than what I thought, you know. You listen and you say, okay, Lord, that's wonderful. And it is wonderful, because what do we really have to lose? What are we really giving up? We're giving up things that don't produce fruit. We're giving up things that don't produce anything. The Bible says that the flesh profits nothing. But he said what? The Spirit of God in godliness is profitable to all things. Godliness profits every part of our life. It profits you in your finance. It profits you in your love walk. It profits you in your relationships. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your friendships. It profits you every single part of our life. It can even profit us temporarily, you know, somewhat in the flesh. Amen. You know, bodily exercise profits some. It does. It helps us in this life, but godliness will profit us eternally. Amen. Here and in eternity. So we want to remember, we're not conformed to this world. We're transformed. We are actually being changed. If you see, God doesn't have love. He is love. That's who he is. That's all he is. That's how he'll deal with you. But yet he has requirements. See, love not only love also has boundaries. We got to remember that. Did God set boundaries in the Word of God? He did, didn't he? He said, don't allow your flesh to take you over. He said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You'll not do those things. You'll not have them stopping you. Your flesh does not have the power to defeat you. Just being born again and having a new nature is enough power to overcome sin. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, did you see your brethren that don't pray in tongues? Many of them, I've seen alcoholics come to Jesus. Their whole life changed. They begin to act right, live right, love their family, get a job, go to work, take care of things, and their whole life begin to change. And they begin to see differences in their life because that born-again nature has within it the very life of God, the very nature of Jesus. Just like Jesus walked on this earth without sin, you and I have victory and can walk in victory over sin. Now, is there temptation? Yes. Is there challenges? Yes. Of course there are, and we'll look at a few today. We're going to see some of this, and how does sin really work against us? But here we're transformed. We are changed. You know, similar to that of a butterfly that goes through the transformation process. He goes into the cocoon and he continues in that cocoon until the day. What does he become in that cocoon? He becomes mush. Anybody in here in this life, maybe you were seeking God and you said, Lord, I've been praying, I've been worshiping, I've been reading the Word of God, I've been talking to you, Lord, I've been spending time with you, and I just feel like mush. Anybody ever felt like mush? What is happening when you feel like mush is he is emptying us of our fleshly desires and our fleshly thoughts and what would be, you know, of no profit to us, and we are at that time not realizing it, but we're being transformed. Our prayers transform us. Praying in the Holy Spirit will transform you. It will be a part of your transformation. It's not the only thing. We've got to have the Word of God, but the Word and the Spirit agree. And sometimes, see, some people think, well, just the Word of God will transform my mind, and it's not really true. We have to gain the revelation of that Word, and utterance in other tongues brings that revelation, but it brings more than that. It brings power to actually become those things. There's a lot of things that take place when we pray in tongues. It's not just praying in tongues, but it's also a revelation of who you are, who Christ is in you, and to begin to walk toward that and realize who I am. I am a son. I've been changed. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer the same. I'm not that sinner saved by grace. I am a saint of the living King. And you become that saint the moment you are born again. But how many know it's a process to gain the understanding? It's a process to begin to walk in the fullness, to really be changed into the very what? Image of Jesus. Now you say, well, he wants me in the image of Jesus. Yes. Your life and my life, we want to reflect him. Now Jesus' life was pretty powerful, wasn't it? Amen. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That was one reason he came, because he came to what? Seek and save that which was lost. Without Jesus, we're all lost. Without him, we have no hope. But if we look at, what is it, 2 Corinthians, right? 3:18. But we all, with an unveiled face. What does that mean? There's no more the veil. Remember in the temple, they had the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Amen? And then you have the outer court. We have that. And you, as you enter in, you go into that Holy of Holies, and they would prepare themselves to go in. The priest would prepare himself to enter in to the Holy of Holies. Glory to God. And that veil was there. It was thick. There's a thick veil there. It was very thick. And there it says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What is the mirror? We behold the glory of the Lord. Isn't it the Word of God? The Word of God declares the glory of God. Jesus shows the glory of God. He showed us what the Father was like. Okay, and so we are being transformed by looking into that mirror. Now, is the Word of God important to you today? Is the Word of God something that you put first place? Am I hungry for the Word of God? We need to ask ourselves these questions. Maybe you were hungry for the Word of God. Maybe you've lost some of your hunger today. You don't want to shortchange yourself. You want to be all that Jesus made you to be. And he's called us and he's given us this mirror, this Word of God, that the glory, it says here, beholding a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed. There's that word again, isn't it? We're being changed. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, our inner man, praying in other tongues, our spiritual man on the inside. He's really not talking about the Holy Spirit there, but we're transformed from that spiritual man that's in us, that came to us in a seed form. It is a seed. The picture is there's a seed that goes in and takes root. The Word of God takes root in our heart and in our mind, and it becomes a positive stronghold to us so that we can then take it with us. We are transformed to that word, such as Jesus says, what did he say? He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Now there is a certain, how many ever walked in love? You know, you made that decision, I'm going to walk in love. Bless God, I said, I'm going to walk in love today. Hallelujah, and you made that decision, and you are trying to walk in love. And how many ever fail walking in love? Everything went just fine until somebody said something to you you didn't like, and you went off. You told the clerk off at the store because she'd made a little mistake adding up your groceries, for example. Or maybe you got angry with your spouse because they didn't do what you thought they should have. Hallelujah. Now see, these are little things sometimes, but when they bother us, Why does it bother us when certain people do certain things? It's because of the stronghold of the soul, the mind. We've got to get renewed, right? And we've got to allow that love. We talked about that before, that love can grow. It can mature. We become more aware of His love. We become more aware of who He is. And we are transformed into that place where love rules supreme. You see, God said He shed His love abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, didn't He? Romans 5, He said, He shed His love abroad into our heart by the Holy Spirit. Well, if that love's in there, why isn't it just automatically flowing out of us? Because we got to know Him. He is love. And if we don't know Him, it's not going to flow very well. We'll have some. We'll have a certain amount. We love the brother, and yes, we do, deep down in our heart. But how many know sometimes in the outward man, there are still things that crop up? Maybe you get the wrong attitude. We think the wrong thing. Or we say, start saying things about people we should not. Oh boy, that was good anyway, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Sometimes things don't go over as well, but it's good, because how many know? Love thinks the best, right? Love desires the best for people. Love wants the best for you. It doesn't mean there's no boundaries, because God set boundaries, didn't He? And so love sets the boundaries. And God set some boundaries in our life. He said, if you seek Me, you'll find Me. If you seek Me, what? With all your heart. We can hunger and thirst for Him. We can know Him because our spirit has been made one with Him. And we know that we can now understand the things of God. And we talked about that the last time. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Now we're getting there. We're coming up to it. Hallelujah. Here we said, let's read 12 and 13. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, before you were born again, he say, here's where we were really born again. We received a new spirit, one like Jesus, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, before you're born again, usually it's not too much of an interest to you. You can't know the things. The Bible says we can't really know them. It says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So the Holy Spirit is teaching what? Our spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Why? Because we became spiritual. We became alive to God. Our spirit was changed. And at that moment, then we could understand the things of God. He compares them with what is comparable. Just like you compare apples and apples and oranges and oranges. We don't set apples out and compare them to oranges. They may be both in the same category. They're both fruit. But they're not the same, are they? They're different. And so we want to compare the same thing. Just like you're a born-again person and Jesus was alive to God, we are comparing that, and we can now understand. Where do I stand when I look in the mirror of God's Word? Where am I compared to how Jesus walked in the earth? How did He walk? He walked in a place of true submission and complete humility and complete dependence on God. Hallelujah. How many know that the natural man doesn't always want to depend on Him? It doesn't feel like depending on Him. Why? Because he has his own idea that we think might be a little bit better. It's good to have ideas. Ideas are wonderful. But if they're not God's ideas, if they're not submitted to Him, if they're not coming from Him, then a lot of times they don't work. Or they may work, but guess what? It may not be what God called you to do. You may be leaning against the wrong building. You may gain the world. The Bible says man sometimes can gain the whole world and lose his soul. I mean, I remember when I worked for Mrs. Fred Jones, and that verse would come to me many times. I prayed a lot for her. I spent time praying for her when I was out on that tractor mowing the grass. You know, I'd be praying for her. We had 14 acres on mowing, and it'd take me about 6 hours, I think. And if I remember right, 5 to 6 hours. And you know, I'd just think about that and pray for her, because how many know, you know, sometimes, you know, people can have all these things and they feel like, see, if you look at her house or if I look at her house, oh, she lives in a mansion. But to that person, they just live in, that's just their home. Well, why? Because we get used to things. How many know you get used to things? And we set patterns in our life, don't we? Hallelujah. Boy, I'm kind of not really what I had on my list here, but that's okay. We're moving forward. Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. So, but we know that we're moving forward. The seed, that new nature that was planted in us, it is one that's just like Jesus was, alive to God and is being transformed. And here we see that we can compare spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. So the old man, this old body, was crucified, wasn't it, with Christ. Hallelujah. And we have the Spirit, which is of Christ, right now, you and I. He said in Romans 6, let's look at Romans 6 and we'll flip over a little bit. Hallelujah. I'm preaching kind of fast today, aren't I? Hallelujah. That's all right. Holy Spirit, help me. Hallelujah. Pray for me. Thank you. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We're no longer slaves of sin. See, just from that new birth, we were changed. And we've been freed from sin. For he who has died has been what? Freed from sin. Verse 7 says there. So the old man being crucified with Christ. And we have the Spirit, which is of Christ, that comes in. Romans 8:2, we've looked at this before, but we'll look at it again. It says here, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life, the new man on the inside. We would say, you know, that would be a small s really in the nation where we are right now. It says, it shows here in the Greek, but see, the word spirit is pneuma and has to be interpreted based upon that reference. It all means spirit. In some places, they capitalize it, trying to refer to the Holy Spirit. And yeah, he does quicken our spirit. He's there in the rebirth. He's the one that, you know, the Bible says regenerates our spirit. But here, Paul's saying the law of that new nature on the inside of you, that new man, the born again man, hallelujah, that's on the inside. Glory to God. The law of that Spirit of life in Christ, that Spirit alone made me what? Free from the law of sin and death, which was the law of sin and death is when I had to sin, when I wasn't yet born again, right? I had to go into sin. I didn't have a choice because that was what my nature was. So my nature is now changed to where I'm made free and I no longer have to walk after sin. At least that's my inward desire. How many know that's true? Your inward desire is not to serve yourself anymore, but to serve him, or not to serve sin, but to walk with him. Glory to God. How many are glad you've got his nature? How many are glad you've been changed? How many are glad that there's a way that you can on purpose continue to be transformed into the very image of Jesus? Now, we have, of course, we know that we have four ways, basically, that we work toward that, which is the Word of God, important. The Word of God is always first place. There's nothing that the Holy Spirit's going to deliver to you or bring to you that's going to go against what the Bible says. If it goes against the Bible, then what? You know already that wasn't God, right? Oh, I didn't hear God because it goes against the Word of God. But there are many things that He'll share with us that are in line with His Word. And that's one of the purposes of praying in tongues, is that we gain revelation of what God has already said. It begins to become real to us. To me, it's revelation or an inspiration on the inside of us, on the inside man. When God begins to reveal something to you, it is because He has a, you know, that verse is going to become something that you can what? Do. And you live because you begin to see the truth of it. But how many know you can learn things, you can get revelation of something, but if you do not act on it and you don't do it, it's not going to benefit your life. We have to become not just hearers, but doers of what we know. Now, many of us, all of us here that are listening, I believe, if you haven't, I'll share it anyway, but praying in other tongues, spending every day, spending those hours in prayer, taking time, praying as much as you can in other tongues, praying when you're driving the car, praying when you're in the shower, praying constantly, trying to develop that in your life and practice it will change you. I would take, you know, there's a lot of jobs I had where I would try to just, I would force myself, train myself to pray in the Spirit. And I would see how many hours I can remember and train yourself. Sometimes you forget and maybe you had to stop for a minute or you have to communicate with people. I'm not talking about praying out loud, but just quietly to yourself or no one can hear you. They don't have to know you're praying. Sometimes I didn't care if they did, but. Yeah, that's, you know, but if you're by yourself or if you're there, you can pray out loud. Otherwise, we can pray quietly to ourselves, you know. You know, you can pray quietly, you know. I don't know, maybe they say, well, what are you saying? Oh, I'm just whispering a prayer. You know, if somebody ever asked me, I just say, well, I'm whispering a prayer. And I was. Prayer in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what are you praying about? Well, I don't know yet, but I'm going to find out. I'm fixing to find out. Just be patient because it is a prayer to be answered. Praying in tongues is going to bring us to that place where we know what God called us to do and walk in the freedom that He has given to us. Amen. So 1 John 4:17, how many knows what that says? That's where it talks about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That as He is, so are we in this world. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Well, what's he meaning there? As Jesus is. Isn't John here? He says, just like Jesus walked in this earth with a spirit man that was alive to God, so you're alive to God. The very life of God. In other words, the Bible says the Zoe of God. That is the very life, the God kind of life, moved to that inside man. That is what we want to work on. That's what we're working on living out of. The real us, the real you and me. How many know there's a difference between your flesh and your spirit? You know, when you know when you're missing it. You know, hallelujah. Because why? It's supposed to work for me, right? It doesn't mean that you're missing it if it didn't work the first time, because we do practice the Word of God and it is a process. But as we continue to pray and we see no progress, then we want to check, don't we? We want to say, am I really doing this? Am I being faithful to these things? Because it doesn't necessarily happen overnight. But over time, in our walk with God, praying in the Spirit, meditating, reading and meditating this word, letting it become what? Let that seed transform us. It is a seed form. Oh, hallelujah. Well, and so as he is, we are. We can walk like Jesus. Now, there's another, he had said over here in the second chapter in the sixth verse, he said, he who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. In other words, he says, you walk just like Jesus walked. How many desire to walk just like Jesus? Now, if you've arrived, let me know. Give me a call this week and tell me, Pastor Doug, I've arrived. I walk just like Jesus. And we'll have you come over here so you can minister to us. Okay? But we all know we haven't quite arrived to the place that Jesus walked. Remember, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, did he heal every person? No. But he was fully led. He said, I only do that which my Father, I see my Father do. I only say that which I hear my Father say. And we are developing a relationship where we can walk to the place. Now, our place is not going to be just exactly like Jesus did. We don't become deity, but we are his son. We are a reflection of who he is in this earth, in our place, in the body of Christ. See, everybody's got a place, don't they? Well, how do you find that place? As we keep praying in the Holy Spirit. We don't stop. We keep meditating the Word of God. And God begins to make that revelation alive on the inside of us. We begin to realize who we are, where we're from, and why we are here. Hallelujah. How many want to know that? You want to walk in that. You're really hungry for that, then I suggest some more time praying in other tongues, meditating the Word of God, reading the Word, worshiping God, spend a little time fasting, seeking after God. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. It's not a maybe so, it is a promise of God, and he will come. Sometimes it seems like it takes forever, but we need endurance in the body of Christ. Everybody wants something. Well, I'll do it, Pastor, if it's easy. Well, I've got something easy for you. Right under your nose, you can just quietly be praying in tongues as much as you can. I can keep praying. I can keep ministering to the Lord. I can take a break once in a while. Sometimes I like to just take a praise break. I don't know about you. You ever get ready to take a praise break? Hallelujah. And I just start praising him. Maybe you take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Just, Lord, I'm going to take a little break. I want you to know how much I love you. I don't need anything, Lord. I just want you to know I praise you. I worship you. I glorify you. I magnify your name. Hallelujah. Well, where's the music? I don't have any. I can't carry my player around. Well, you can on your iPod or whatever. But I don't need that. I need him. And out of the secret place of your own heart, tell him how much you love him. Let him know how wonderful he is. That's what I mean by that. The psalmist David says 7 times a day he would stop and praise the Lord. If you have to, maybe you'll set your phone, you know, several times a day. You know, oh, I could do here, there, on your break time, whatever it is. When you're driving your car, you've been praying, but you can take a minute. Lord, I'm going to take a few minutes just to let you know how much I appreciate you and love you. Out of your heart, think about it. You see, when we worship, when we pray in tongues, that's easy. We can do all kinds of things because it's not really for our mind, is it? It's building up our spirit. But when we begin to worship God or take a second to worship him, we've got to get our mind engaged and think about what we're saying. Otherwise, we really don't enter in, do we? Anybody ever been there? You're singing the song, right? You're singing the song. Hallelujah, Jesus, I love you. Whatever song it may be. You know, and so you're singing, Lord, I love you, I praise you, I adore you, and your mind's somewhere else. Anybody ever been there? I've been there before. I've been there before when I was worshiping him, telling him how much I love him. My mind goes down and it tries to solve some problem down the street or from yesterday or from this morning or tomorrow, thinking about something else, or maybe you're out to lunch right now thinking about when you're going to have breakfast or lunch or dinner. Or you're getting tired, you need to go to bed. We got people in all time zones, so hallelujah. You know, whatever it may be. And we think about something else. And we're going to start talking about that some more, maybe this next month, I believe. But when we, you know, stop to say a worship, we got to think about it. Think about what we're saying and pour our heart and our soul into it. Jesus, I love you. I worship you. You mean just like that? Yeah. It sounds kind of dry, Pastor, I know. But as we do that, we take a little time and we pour our heart into it. His love begins to come more real to us. His presence comes more and more. And the love of God, which was shed in our heart, begins to increase and grow. And we become a reservoir, carrying his love with us more and more, until that manifestation's not only in us, but it can start creating a circumference around us. And people will take notice of you. They will realize, just like they did the apostles, you know, and the disciples, the apostles that were there. Well, these are unlearned men, but we see that they've been with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And you'll have your testimonies. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So really, when we look at this, we have to see Jesus. I see you in the mirror as you are. So am I. As you are, Jesus, so am I. That's what he said here. As he is, so am I. All right. In this world. That's what we are. In this world. Jesus. He doesn't have any sin nature in him. No nature to sin, and neither do you. You don't have the nature of sin in you. You have the ability to sin, but that desire to sin is just in our flesh. It's not in our spiritual man. We have the nature to do what is right. We were changed and became what? True righteousness and holiness moved into you. You're free from sin. You don't have to be bound to it anymore. We don't have to walk in it. Glory to God. We saw that, our old man, it was crucified, we said. The old man was changed. We receive the law of the Spirit of life now. Hallelujah. So, let's look at James 1. He's answering something for us. If we fall into temptation, not from our spirit, but from our flesh. See, it comes from, what I want to ask, it shows us here, how do we overcome that? How do we overcome the temptation that does come to our flesh? If it's there, James 1, let's look here for a minute. And I want to start down around the 12th verse, I believe. Hallelujah. And we see how this really works. He said, blessed is the man who endures temptation. How many know sometimes you have to endure temptation? It comes at you. The enemy comes. Your flesh works on you. Your own desires, there's fleshly desires in you that work from your outward man, or the desires, that are in this world. Things of our emotion. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now here we see that we are blessed is the man. We become uncontrollable by Satan. Can you see that? we're not controllable by him because we endure the temptation. And when he's been approved, when he's done that, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love them. The enemy cannot stop you. Let no one say, verse 13, when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. There's a conception. First of all, we start thinking about something, right? It is a thought. You know, most people don't get into adultery because they didn't think about it. Oh boy, that was good, wasn't it? You know, they don't commit adultery or do something or even steal something because they didn't think about it. They thought about it. The thought came. How many know the enemy can bring a thought? Your own mind sometimes. You have things in our mind, or fleshly mind can bring that thought. Hallelujah. But we have to do something. It says here, then desire, you know, there's a conception, there's an incubation, because you start thinking about it, you keep dwelling on it, and then there's that manifestation, isn't it? It comes to pass. It is brought forth. There's a manifestation of it, or delivery of it. So 16 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. For every good and every perfect gift from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Oh, glory to God. So the perfect gift, the new nature, he says, he makes us then sons, doesn't he? With that new nature, verse 17, every good and perfect gift, did you receive a spirit from God, a new life? Amen. Hallelujah. It comes down from the Father of lights, whom there's no variable. So he's not going to change. There's no changing with God. He doesn't vary in anything. There's no shadow of turning. He's not going to change his mind. So he says, then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And then he says this in 21, he says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, or the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. In other words, the residue of wickedness that is there is caused by that we bring, basically. You remember when they came out of Egypt? You know, we came out of sin, and sometimes there's a residue left within our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, our intellect. There are things that have to be rooted out. And we have to allow that engrafted word. In other words, it's planted in us like a seed is the picture. It is implanted into us, and it begins to grow. It begins to mature. How many know that the word of God has power? It's full of power. But when we plant it into our heart, and we allow it to grow through prayer, through nurturing that word, then the new nature we receive with teachableness, right? He says here, we receive it with meekness. That means teachableness, to be teachable. Amen. The implanted word, which is able to save our souls, which makes total sense. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Listen to what God has said. Listen to his word. Allow it to be implanted, become a part of us. And a lot of times the way we do that is when we meditate on it. We meditate, Joshua said, day and night. And then also, meditate, one of the words of meditate means to mutter it, to say it to yourself over and over again. And sometimes we call that confession. We speak the word of God out loud over our life. We find things that need to change. In other words, I might say over and over, Jesus, as you are, so am I in this world. And I'm thinking about that. I may mutter that over myself many times a day, praying in the Spirit, praying over that. Lord, as you are, so am I in this earth. I'm being transformed. By what? The Word of God. It's transforming my mind. It's building my spirit. It is food for my inner man. And then he says, of course, 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. We don't want to just hear the word of God, but we have to apply it to our life. Amen. We can hear about praying in tongues. Somebody heard about praying in tongues? You're listening here. You're a prayer. That's wonderful. We want to be consistent. We want to keep doing that. And sometimes, how many have ever lost? Your desire has waned a little. You got taken out of prayer. Maybe you're not praying much at all. You say, I've got to get back to this. Well, then that's a decision we have to make. And sometimes it is a discipline to what? The flesh. It's not a discipline, really. It is a spiritual discipline, but we are putting down our flesh, which is saying, I don't feel like praying. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't feel like doing that right now, but I'm going to what? Make myself, because God said it will produce a change, a transformation in me. When we begin to transform, or transform what? To the love of God. See, it's not our action. We should use everything we can in our willpower to resist things. But that's not really what brings the transformation. What brings the transformation is when we spend time praying and meditating that word and letting it roll over and over and over again in our heart, to where we know that love endures long and is patient and kind. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to endure long, Lord. I'm supposed to be patient. I'm supposed to be kind. I'm not supposed to be envious. I'm not supposed to have those things. I'm supposed to believe the best of other people. At least I want the best for them. Amen. It doesn't mean that you become a doormat and everybody walks over you and you have to do everything they tell you. No. You walk with God and you listen to Him. His voice has to be number one in our life and what His word says. Love does set some boundaries, and I understand that, and we'll get into that sometime, maybe more. But, we can be transformed into that with what? The engrafted word. As we engraft that word, we saw the other, we present our body. What? A living sacrifice. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, the renewing of our mind is the word of God, but it's also praying in other tongues. Why? Because that is the truth. That is God praying for us, His mind, His will, and bringing revelation and things other than just what the word says revealed to us. He makes it known to us. He brings to light things that are not of Him, that we may, what? Ax them and bring them out of our life. And if we're consistent, the Holy Spirit Himself will see to it. It has to change. It will change. You say, well, it's taken me a long time and I don't see much. Well, keep doing it. You prayed 2 weeks, and some people pray, oh, I prayed for 2 weeks. Brother, nothing's changed. Well, it takes a little more than 2 weeks normally. Keep praying. And a lot of times it could take, however long it takes. We've got to decide, I'm going to stay in there, Lord, until I know that you are changing my heart. And we take the word of God and we say, okay, Holy Spirit, help me. And we speak the word of God and we pray in tongues and we speak that word. We read it again. And we stay on it. Maybe it's one scripture. Maybe it's one scripture. Lord, I know you want me to be a gentle man, a gentle person. Maybe you have trouble with that. Well, then we want to say, Lord, let your gentleness rise up. I believe, Lord. I'm trusting you to help me walk that out. Oh, glory to God. We want to walk in these things and come to that place of love. Amen. The fullness of His love, which is where we are ultimately going. Okay, hallelujah. So we're looking at the Word of God. It's freed us from that sin. As He is, so are we in this world. So we must say that we're free. You have to agree with what the Word of God says. We saw there in Romans 6, didn't we? He said, sin doesn't have dominion over us. I believe it's verse 14. It does not. It cannot have dominion over us. If we died with Him, then we're freed from sin. And we can live according to the righteousness that is on the inside of us. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Father. Let's just worship Him for His Word, for the Holy Spirit that helps us to change, to be mortified, to allow us to come. And He's given us this key of prayer and the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, worship, that we can continue to be transformed so that what? We can walk just like Jesus walked. Our spirit man can come to that place, that seed continue to grow, that we continue to mature, we begin to understand more and more of who He is. And that as we spend time with Him, what? He rubs off on us. How many know you become like people you walk around? You know, you spend a lot of time with people, you become like them, whether you like it or not. Some things at least rub off on you. Amen. And so we want to spend time with God so that He and His power, His presence, His life begins to, His Word, His life changes us. And so let's just pray a minute and just thank God. Let's just worship Him. Let's just thank Him that He created us in His image, that He changed us, and we can understand the things of God. We can walk with Him in true righteousness and holiness. We can know Him, and we can be transformed from faith to faith, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Father, we just want to thank You. We worship You, Lord. Out of the sanctuary of our own heart, Lord, we love You. Thank You, Father, that You have saved us. Thank You that You transformed us into the very nature of Christ, which came in, Lord. You gave us a nature just like His, alive to You. And we just want to say thanks, Lord. Thank You for saving me, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't know if we've ever thanked Him enough just for saving us. Just sit down some time and spend some time. Lord, thank You. Thank You for saving me, Jesus. I'm so glad I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Lord, sometimes things may look around in the natural, look terrible all around You, but You have something to be thankful for. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to miss heaven, Lord. I love You. I worship You. I know that You are good, Lord, that You have saved me. And Lord, I want to walk in all the fullness of God. I don't want to shortchange myself. I want all that You are, Lord. I hunger for You, Lord. I want Your Word to be engrafted in me, Lord, and change me. I want the Holy Spirit to become my teacher and revealed to me. Help me, Holy Spirit, as I go about my day, to spend time and to become a person of prayer all the time, Lord. Hallelujah, I worship You. I thank You, Father, for the keys of the kingdom, for things that are spiritual that I can do, Lord, as I'm walking about and doing the things of my life. I'm so grateful, Father. Thank You, Lord. I worship You and I magnify You for the Word of God that gives me the truth, Lord, and sets me more and more free every day. Feeds my spirit and helps me to grow and mature in You. Transform us, Lord, into Your image. Transform us, Lord, so that people have a hard time telling the difference between who we are and who He is. Oh, we love You, Lord. We worship You and give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father.